can start.
Oh. Good morning. So every year, when I was a teenager, even though when I went to yeshiva, I found Rosh Hashanah very, very confusing. Very confusing. And if you ask people today, I'm not talking about the Olam over here, but when you ask people today, what is Rosh Hashanah? How would you be able to sum up Rosh Hashanah to me? You will hear about 30, 40, so many different answers. And when I was growing up and I was hearing so many people speak about Rosh Hashanah, I felt people were dancing around what exactly is Rosh Hashanah? Tshuva. Tshuva is a very big word. How do you define exactly what Rosh Hashanah is? What's the din of Rosh Hashanah? That's what I wanted to understand. And I was zoicha to go to Bitzchok Bakovitz's kollel, and I spent there 3 years learning under him, and every day he would give a shiur, and his shmooze during Elul was talking about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that's when I understood finally what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is. And I felt it was something so unbelievable, and this for me changed the way I lived, the way I thought. I wrote a sefer, and his mamash came out word for word of what Rebecca has taught. So, that's my one. I'm not selling anything over here. You can all go to local bookshops. But Lemaisa, I don't know about you again, but every single year, when it came around to this time of the year, I would take out my piece of paper from last year, and I would look at my New Year's resolutions from last year. I'd open it up, and I would see, yeah, it was came out the same. You know, last year I wanted to work on my relationship with my family, my wife, my kids, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, my temptations. I wanted to work on things. And as I looked at my stuff from last year and I looked at what I wanted to do this year, it was exactly the same. So I met this person recently and he'd lost a lot of weight. So I said, you know, how did you do it? I've been same way I want to try and work on things. This person, he was able to actually lose weight. So he said, you know, so many times when I tried to lose weight in the past, it's like a crash course diet, similar to like some people when it gets to Elul, they do this crash course into Teshuvah for 40 days, I'll do. Because what happens most times when people do that sort of diet, what happens? You know what happens? They lose it all, they look thinner than did, and then they put all it back on, plus a bit of tax. Then they put it all back on. He said, I didn't do a diet. I did a lifestyle change. When we talk about now, what we're going to talk about, the avodah of Rosh Hashanah, and the way I understood it, was we're talking about a lifestyle change. And that's exactly what I want to talk about. So let's start like this. And with this yisoy, there's so many minhagim and avodahs of Rosh Hashanah that are all understood, about why we don't sleep, understand behind the simonim. Rosh Hashanah is a very confusing day. Is it a Yom HaDin? Or is it a Yom Tov? On one hand, we celebrate, there's a mitzvah of Mishteh, of Yain, Bas of Yain on Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, it's Yom HaDin. The Mishnah Berurah says the certain clothes a person should wear, which are too fancy, because it's still ultimately it's Yom HaDin. There's even a machlokes in the Rishonim whether a person can fast, because ultimately it's Yom HaDin. The Maaseh of the Pesach is that even if you are going to fast only in the evening, but not in the day, what is Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah? Is Rosh Hashanah... Is my hat?
No, it's okay, it's fine. It's fine.
It's easier for me. What is Rosh Hashanah? Is it Yom HaDin or is it Yom Tov? So we learn out the famous Gemara, and again, these are Gemaras that we heard so many times, and I want to put it all together and bring out one yesod about Rosh Hashanah. So in Rosh Hashanah, we know the Gemara tells us that the world passes l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'vnei morim, and from there we learn out Eini Hashem Reishis Hashanah Adachus Hashanah, and everything that's going to happen on during the year is decided and determined on Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah. So what happens? So according to this Gemara, Rambam brings down the tzaddikim they decide Rosh Hashanah nechdam l'chaim. What happens to the Rishoyim? Nechdam la'alta l'mavis. What happens to the Beinonim? The Beinonim atulim va'imdim ad? I don't make a point. So my Rebbe asked, I remember asked a simple question. There was something like, wow, I never thought of that before. I remember asked the day after Rosh Hashanah, or the day of Rosh Hashanah, after the Tkiyah Shofar, when it's Zman Hadin. What's the question? Rishon should drop dead. Rishon should drop dead. We should wake up the next morning, we should look around this world. There'll be no drivers, you know, bad drivers around. There'll be no bad Rishon in the world. We should be living at peace with no bad people. We should live in the world where it's completely free of Rishon. If it's signed. Nechtam, it's carried out immediately. In Altami, La'alta, the Benim Atumim Va'imim for the year. It should happen straight away. So it's the altar. It's decided right now. Nechdam lemamet. Why should take a year for them to die?
Decide for me, sir.
Why should take a year? If you decide to go, why should they have another year? If they've done wrong, we'd die straight away.
Decide that they're gonna die in that year.
Why should they even given a year? What for? They're nechdam. They're showing this.
Why? Okay,
yeah, that's
the question.
Yeah, good question.
Okay, thank you. Okay. The stash area.
Some people take longer.
So we were brought up. So the Sam Rishonim, the Rishonim asked, it's not me, it's the Rishonim. The Rishonim asked a question. So Sam Rishonim say that the reason why the Rishonim die straight away is because they'll take away from our Bechira. It'd be a nice nigla if the day after Rishonim people will die. And it'll take away from our Bechira if we would see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punches people straight away and the Tzaddikim are kept alive. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't kill them straight away. But there's something much deeper going on over here. And Stamazai. The second question, again, everyone asks this question, I want to put it all together. Second question they ask is that they say that in the Hashem Teshuvah, you're half-half. People are supposed to look themselves as Beninim. And if they do more mitzvahs, then Nechdam L'chaim. If they do more averis, then Nechdam L'misa. What's the question?
Do one more mitzvah.
You ain't sitting the whole day. You're learning every word of Torah is worth universe, a lot of mitzvahs. Do more mitzvahs. What's this idea of tulum ve'oindim ad Yom Kippur? So again, we were taught in school, the way I was taught up in school, we're brought up that you're definitely not a tzaddik. Forget about it. You're still too. You may be a Rasha, you may be a Beinoni. So you've got to work out until Yom Kippur to work out who you're going to be. Well, what's this all about? What's the tzaddik? What's the Rasha? What's the Beinoni? These are sort of things I want to understand and understand what's exactly Rosh Hashanah. The other way around the question as well. Well, tzaddikim, they die in that year as well. So I want to start with the Sephorna. This is my rabbi said this is his favorite Sephorna. And he always said, there's many beautiful Sephorna. This is his favorite Sephorna. The Sephorna speaks about the encounter between Yaakov Avinu and Parai. Yaakov Avinu, he meets Parai. And he asks Yaakov, how old are you? Funny question to ask someone, how old are you? And Yaakov Avinu, he answers, he doesn't answer with a number. He gives a gun to Drosha. He says, Yimei Shnei Megurai, Yema'a V'roi Yimei Shnei Chayai. My life, my begurim, ma'avoroim, v'lehigia limei shnois avoisai, the days of my life never reached to the days of avoisai. A whole drasha we made gurim. What's he on about? What's Yaakov's meaning? What's Parai's question? We see someone old, they're asking, how old are you? And what's Yaakov's long answer to explain to him exactly how old he is? I never reached that. He never asked me that question. He just asked me, how old are you? Why such a long, complicated question? So says the Sephorna, that when Parai saw Yaakov, he was shocked by the wrinkles on Yaakov Avinu's face. He'd never seen someone as old as Yaakov Avinu, 130 years old. So he wanted to know how much was his life? How old are you? How old are you? What's your life about? But Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu, he said, there's two things. And that's not life. You want to ask me how long I existed? I existed 130 years. You want to learn how long I lived? My life never reached the life of Avosai of Avraham Yitzchak. What does that mean? So Sephorna explains that Yaakov had a difficult life. First, he had the Maaser where he was running away from his brother, from Esav, Lavan, then Esav again. Then he's got to deal with Dinah's capture. Yosef Avinu gets captured, and for all those years, he never had Nevuah. The Shechina was away from him. It was a life which stunted his growth. And Yaakov Avinu's answer to Parai was, if you want to know how old I was, then my age is 130. That's how long I existed. If you want to learn what my life is, a life of growth,
a life of real life, then because of what I went through as Ma'av B'Rayim B'Meir Grayim, I never reached the levels of Avram and Yitzchak in their existence. I never had life for what life really is. I may have had an existence of 130 years, but in those 130 years, I never filled them up with what real Chaim is. Because life is defined by my growth achievement. And that's why we say in Chazal, Rishoyim b'chayim kuruim mesim. And tzaddikim, when they're dead, they're still alive. So we know that life and death come in literally. So pshat is that Rishoyim, they could be living in this world, they could be existing, but they're not alive. Because what do you call life? Life is a life where you're really living, where you're living a life of growth, where you're making a difference to the world. Where and the tzaddik, what he's asking for in Rosh Hashanah, what we're asking for in Rosh Hashanah. You know, people that I remember growing up, you know, Banasana Toikiv, people are shaking, people are crying. It's like the ultimate part of davening. And what's everyone thinking about life and death? It's not me. This is my rabbi and many other great people. They said, that's not the real din of Rosh Hashanah. Is am I going to get a life of opportunities to do more? Am I going to get a life of being making a difference out of people's lives? Am I going to get opportunities for my own personal growth? What we're asking for on Rosh Hashanah is chayim. It's real life. You know, Ramosha Weinberg, he says, you know, there's many, many definitions of life. You know, and there's existence. You know, a human being needs health, we need panosa, food to live. That's the same as a worm. That's the same as a bird. A tree is also crying out for life. All of creation is asking for life, but we're asking for something more than that. My Rebbe, he always says over the story of Reb Shalom Shadron. So Reb Shalom Shadron, one of his sons came over to him and said, he's complaining. You know, life is about do's and don'ts. So many shibudim to do. The son was struggling. So Reb Shalom Shadron, he said to his son, now take a dog. Now a dog does it, you know, they don't exactly need to wear clothes. They don't need to find their food, they find their food everywhere. You know, they don't find a house, they can live everywhere. It's pretty easy for them to live. Do you prefer that? Would you prefer to be a human being? A new human being needs clothes, a human being needs food, it needs to find, needs to work for it. Which one do you prefer? So his son said, I prefer to be the dog life. So Shalom Shadon said, this is a behemoth! That's a dog! Because real life is a life of work. A life of appreciating that, of not just existence in the world. That's everything in the world. What we're looking for in this world is a life of real chayim. A real chayim. The Kotzke Rebbe, when he was visiting his hometown of Tomyshov, apparently. He was visiting his hometown of Tomyshov. So, you know, Lahavdo, when someone famous goes back to their little shtetl, it's a big fuss. It's a big fuss. Everyone wants to have the Kotzke Rebbe staying by them. But the Kotzke Rebbe, he stayed by his Aleph Beis Rebbe. He said, you know, Kotzke, he said that, you know, my Rebbe taught me Aleph Beis. He taught me everything there was to know. After that, everything got too confusing, too complicated for me. Kotzke. So you see on the minhag by the Rebbe's when they go to a town, they go to visit a cheder. They go and they fahed the boys. So he goes into the cheder, and obviously they're dressed in the Shabbos finest. And the Rebbe, everyone's there nervous. The Rebbe's going to fahed them. So he says, "No, look, tell us what you've been learning." So the boy starts the pasuk, and he says, "Vachi, vachi Yosef." He carries on the pasuk, "Vayomas." So he translates it. How many years he lived, how many years Joseph died. And the Kotzke said, it's not the right translation. So the teacher's surprised. The Rebbe asks another boy in the class, "No, Yankel, was it the pasuk?" So he tells another boy, he says the pasuk, "Vechi Yosef, Vayomis." And the Rebbe says, it's not the translation. It's not right. So the Rebbe now looks, the Talmud, the Cheder Rebbe looks towards the Kotzke Rebbe and he says, "No, so you teach the class, the translation of the pasuk." So the Rebbe, he closes his eyes and he says, "Vayechi! Vayomas. Vayechi!" He says, loud. Vayechi. That's why Yid, the life of a Jew is Vayechi, is to live. Vayomos. Some quiet. Dov HaMelech said, Vayomos. So the tzaddikim, they tied shtab, Vayomos. It's I don't want to die. Is that, what that means is, Vayomos, I don't want to die, I want to live. That's a basic translation. But the tzaddikim, they tied shtab, the word Vayomos. I don't want to die, I don't just live like a bird. Ki echye. Because I want to live the life of a Yid. So the Maggid of Mezrich, he said, it's unbelievable. The Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Meis, we always talk up in Shemaim, there's some big wizard in the sky that's writing down exactly what's going on. The Maggid of Mezrich, he said, that the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Meis are to be found in the heart of the Jew. That is, you know, when you're in yeshiva, and I was in yeshiva, Teres Avraham, you know, people, the Mashiach, Mashkichim used to start off by saying, I was like, oh gosh. And they used to tell us, you know, I remember when I was when I was younger, in my yeshivas, they used to tell us that the fish in the sea, they used to die and pass out when they used to hear the words Elo. Taka, they say, I can't remember which yeshiva it was, that at the beginning of Elo, the Mashkiach would walk in, cap on the bima, and he'd say, Elo! And that was Moshe Shmuz for the Zman. That was Moshe Shmuz. And like, fear doesn't get anyone anywhere today. Like, what's the fear of Elo? What's the fear of Elo? So my Rebbe Rubakovitz, he said, completely twisted it, changed it around. He said, the fear of Elul is missing out on the opportunity of Hashem wants you to give Chaim. On the avoida of Elul is the fear of missing out of what Hashem wants you to give. Because in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem's not waiting to give out a stam life, that's nice. But Hashem's waiting to give out a life of growth. Hashem's waiting to give you out a life of opportunities. And I don't want to miss out on opportunities that are going to come my way. And therefore my avodah before Rosh Hashanah is to think about what is it I want out of life? What chaim do I really want? What's really important to me? What's my focus in my world going to be? You know, as Rav Shmuley said on Tisha B'Av, the great Musa of Corona. What was the great Musa of Corona? People were busy flying, doing, busy. And Hashem, and we thought, I have to go there, I have to go and do this, I have to go there, this is important, this is what I need to do. And what Hashem told us was, you think that's important, you take a step back and realize what's really important. Realize what's important is your avodas Hashem, your connection to Hashem. Without appreciating the things that you have in life, your tefillah, your connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We had to stop. And really, Rosh Hashanah is just an extension on a high level with all the koichas that come with it. What's been happening in the last 6 months. That, Rabbeisai, is the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. This is the simcha of Yom Hadin. It's a serious day because we fear of missing out on opportunities Hashem's waiting to give. But it's the simcha of Yom Hadin that's celebrating that we have choices in life, that we have responsibilities, that I'm not just an existing object in this world. But rather, I have life. That I am accepting din, the life of responsibility, a life of making choices. That's why it's such a zman of celebration. Where's the bar mitzvah come from? Where's the minag of a bar mitzvah come from? Why do you celebrate a bar mitzvah? Big, small, why do you celebrate a bar mitzvah? Make a whole big deal out of a bar mitzvah. So the Maharshal in Baba Kama, he says, that on the Gemara of Rabbi Yosef said, if someone tells me as a blind person that I have a chiyuv and mitzvahs, then I make a big feast. So the Maharshal says from there, that is the makor to a bar mitzvah. Why? All of a sudden it's become chiyuv and mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. And the answer is so beautiful, because that be'etzem is something to celebrate. To become a bar chiyuva, to become someone whose actions count, who's responsible for his own existence, that is something to celebrate. That's the Zman Simcha of Rosh Hashanah. That I'm achroi for my actions. That my life makes a difference. Everything that I do is important. I'm celebrating that is life. That life is my choices. That's a Simcha, that's the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. The one interesting minhagim of Rosh Hashanah is that we're told that it's the Taz brings from Yishami, we're not sure what the Makar of Yishami is, that on Rosh Hashanah you're not supposed to sleep. Why? And it's brought down. If someone sleeps in the mat, his mother for the obi, he all sleeps. Now, what's that all about? How do you understand that? I don't understand that. What's that all about? We don't see the benefit of the Yom Tovim. Okay, Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, but we don't see this idea. What's this idea of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah? So again, my Rebbe, he explained, I was like, he said that you have to first define what sleep is. How do you define sleep? He said sleep, 60th. Gemara says, is 1/60th of death. Why? Because when you sleep, you're sort of escaping existence, you're escaping life. You're not thinking, you're not making choices, you're not living, it's not a life of chayim. And therefore, on the day where we're supposed to be showing Kodesh Baruch Hu what I want, it's chayim, and we're sleeping, then Hashem's going to say, are you really serious that you want chayim? If you sleep, if you're running away, then that's not chayim. So now, said my Rebbe, if a person goes to sleep, he needs a half an hour nap in order to have koyach to learn. He needs a half an hour nap in order to daven better, if he's musaf. Or he needs more koyach to have, then that's not escaping from existence. Because he's made the choice. He's made the choice that I need to sleep in order to my voice Hashem should be better. So therefore he said, he passed it also faket. If a person needs to sleep in order to strengthen his avodah and Rosh Hashanah, then that's okay. That's okay because the person is doing it because he wants chayim. This is the day of Rosh Hashanah. This is the day of Rosh Hashanah. So for me, the story that does it is a story about a young girl called Chanula. And she loved to dress up as a princess. She always used to enjoy getting dressed up, as young children do. And one day she sees this big plastic pearls. And she thinks to herself, I want to look like mommy. So she begs her parents and she gets these beautiful plastic pearls. One day, her father comes up to her and says, Khanala, can I please have your plastic pearls? So Khanala, she says, Daddy, anything but my plastic pearls. I'm happy to give you my brush. You take my brush, you pay with the pony, and enjoy that. Father says, no, I want the plastic pearls. She says, no. The next day, the father comes up and says, Khanala, please give me your plastic pearls. She says, Daddy, you know my plastic pearls are so precious to me. I'll give you my Playmobil. The father says, I just want plastic pearls. And day after day, he asks her for the plastic pearls. He doesn't, and she doesn't give them. One day, father, he finds his daughter there crying. So the father says, Khanala, what's the matter? So she says, every night I tell you no. You ask me for my plastic pearls and I tell you no. But you're the best. But on the other hand, this is my favorite toy. But I thought, if that's what you really want, then here are my pearls. And now, the daughter and the father are both crying. The father is crying and he reaches into his pocket and he gives her a real string of pearls. And he says, I wanted to give you these, but I needed to wait until you got rid of those plastic toys. Every year Hashem turns up and he wants to give us real life. He wants to give us real life, what this world is all about. And Hashem's saying, I want you to focus. What's your attitude of Rosh Hashanah? What are you living for? When you are really ready to exchange the toys for Chaim, then I'm ready to give you Chaim. I'm ready to give you what life is all about. But yeah, you have to have that change of focus. You have to have that change of attitude. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us on Rosh Hashanah. It's the avodah of Rosh Hashanah. To change my attitude, what's important in life. I want to end off with one more point. We say over Slichus, we're going to say it over the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Hashem Hashem Kerachum V'chanun. Some shuls will sing that anyway. And I just remember when I was my first year, I was in the Meir Yeshiva. I say it because it ties into what we were saying. I was in the Meir Yeshiva. I used to daven every year in the Merkazin, in the main base of Medrash. You see, before Shmulevitz, Nosses V. Finkel, give us a shmuz of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Arya Finkel, davening for the Amud Musaf. It's so funny, like I'm a young person, but I remember these gedolim of yesteryear. And then I started with Rebbe Mitzvah Kolo, and a kibbutz asked for a minyan on Yom Kippur. Never had 50 years of minyan. And it was my first year in Rebbe Mitzvah Kolo. I didn't buy into the whole Kirov thing. And I went to Rebbe and said, listen, I daven every single year in the Merkazim, in the Meir, you know, surrounded by 1,000 Talmidei Chachamim, Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas. What should I do? So Rebecca was telling me, I'd rather, like, you go and do it. You go to the kibbutz. But I didn't yet trust Rebecca, so I would say, you know, well, it wasn't my Rebbe yet. So I called up Avram, my Rosh Hashiva. I said, Rosh Hashiva, I've got a choice between davening in a kibbutz, and maybe there'll be a mini, maybe there won't be. There's going to be 3-4 Kohen Galites, but the rest, I don't know what they're going to be like. I wasn't sure. So I asked Avram, and Avram said, is there anyone else that can do it? I said, they've asked us, there's no one else that can do it. So he said, there's no greater zchus for you on Rosh Hashanah. He said that everyone is davening, the second oil of everyone is davening to repair the world, to fix the world of Sheker. They're davening. They're talking the talk. You're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. Kids, I went there. And so someone suggested maybe for Hashem Hashem, instead of like you know, we used to Hashem Hashem, we scream. He said, maybe sing it. So nice, I was like, what do you mean? You gotta do like, you know, we did in Yeshiva. Looking back, you know, it was so nice to sing it. Because Lemaisa, we sing on Rosh Hashanah. It's also part of the paradox of Rosh Hashanah, of the seriousness and the intensity of the day of Rosh Hashanah. And that was just a side point. So we say Hashem Hashem. And we taught with Desla and other people, so my Sefer as well, Rebecca, he taught us that Hashem Hashem is like Kodesh Baruch Hu Kodem Achet and La'ach Achet. Kodem Achet and La'ach Achet, which means that Adam HaRishon before the Chet had a relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, and even after the Chet, Kodesh Baruch Hu still said, I had a relationship with Adam HaRishon. So this I heard this year, I think it's something so special and beautiful. There was a couple that were met, that were engaged. Engaged, they were happy with each other, they enjoyed each other's company, and they were preparing for the wedding. And you know, one of the things they do in preparation for the wedding is you make a wedding list. And you go around the furniture store, choosing the furniture that's going to fill your house. And when a couple do that, there's a very special excitement about doing that shopping. Why? Because you go and look at the table, you're not just looking at a table. You're looking at what the table is going to bring. The table is going to bring a mishpacha, it's going to bring a Shabbos meal, it's going to bring kedusha. You're looking at the excitement of the table. You look at the kitchen, you're going to buy the furniture of the kitchen. You're looking at, you know, kiddulach running around. You're looking at, in mitzvah shem, you're looking at the meals are going to be cooked, the time you're going to spend with one another. And every area of the house is the excitement that it's going to build. And it's such a beautiful time to go and spend with one another. Shine, they do the shopping a few days before the wedding. The Kala calls up, and she gets nervous, and she wants to back out from the chasna. The chasna is devastated. He's left hurt, scars. And it's a very, very difficult. The families fall out with one another, and they both sides are struggling with the relationship. A few months down the line, one of the uncles calls up the chasna and says that the Kala wants to try and repair the damage between the two. They try to make up. They see rabbonim, therapists. And most of they get engaged again. So now the wedding list has been cancelled. They've got to go and do that shopping again. So they go back to the store, and they've got to go around scanning which items of furniture they're going to take into the house. But this time, when they're doing the shopping, it's very sterile. It's not the same excitement as last time, because each side wants to protect their emotions. Each side doesn't want to be scarred again by what they had gone through the first time. And therefore, it's not the same. There's so much hurt. It's very hard to put the past behind. When we say Hashem Hashem Karachu B'chanu, Hashem Hashem, Hashem's not like a human being. We daven for Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem. And the idea is that the second level of Rachamim is even the Acha Chet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to put everything behind us and to make a relationship from scratch. Like brand new, the excitement that it was. That's the Hashem Hashem. The simcha of saying Hashem Hashem is who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, God's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even the Acha Achet, Hashem is the same excitement, the same love that He has for Klal Yisrael, that He has for us. Kodem Achet and the Acha Achet. And this year especially, Rabbi Yisai, we've gone through so many challenges. But Prat, but Klal, it's been a difficult year. Every single person, there's no one that's been unaffected, whether it's loneliness, illness, and so much more, Rachman Yitzlan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moments when we felt lonely, we felt detached from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were davening at home, we were doing our own avodah. Hashem, 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 Hashem says, even la'acha all that, I'm still the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my relationship with you is still there. Hashem is waiting to give us chayim. We have a few more days till Rosh Hashanah, to the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah.
When we shah Hashem in the next few days, and we think, what's really important? How do I spend my time? What's my focus in life? How do I live my life? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not willing just to give you the existence. Shemzeicha techaim, a life of real growth, of opportunities. Shemzeicha to a shalom tov and sukkah of chesim. Amen. 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 Amen.